Welcome to Prison Pipeline, produced at the studios of KBOO Portland. I'm Karen James. Iron Tribe emerged from the vision of two men as they served time in Oregon prison. Upon release from prison, they developed an innovative and effective transitional housing solution for others who re-entered their communities after involvement with the criminal legal system. Today, Iron Tribe Network offers peer support, recovery programs, family reunification services, and operates recovery and wellness homes in four Oregon counties. My guest is Sean Bauer, co-founder and executive director of Iron Tribe Network. Welcome, Sean.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Sean, you co-founded Iron Tribe in 2009, and your story is a remarkable story. You conceived the idea of Iron Tribe while in a prison cell. And today, Iron Tribe's given so many people the opportunity for a second chance. So talk a bit about your personal journey since co-founding Iron Tribe in 2009.
Iron Tribe Network was just an idea, the idea of having a community of belonging that we could be fully understood by. You know, if it had issues with drugs, alcohol, crime, jail, prison, treatment, mental health, you were right at home. And that still is the core values, of our organization. You know, since then, I've managed to, go back to school, get a couple certifications, enter into the peer support world. And right along with that, our organization has been able to develop that service and offer that to people getting out of treatment, people who getting out of homelessness, people getting out of prison, and wanting to reinvent themselves and needing a platform to do it. Personally, it's almost unmeasurable. I would have shortchanged myself by 100 times if I would have said, this is my goal, because we've passed that goal 100 to 1,000 times. Personally, it gives me a drive to get up in the morning. Many people ask, why do you do what you do? And when I hear someone return from prison and come up to me into the community and say, I want to thank you for having clean and sober housing. It afforded my significant other to get into your housing, gave me a place to parole to and our family to reunite. That's what I mean by unmeasurable, what we get to do today.
And Iron Tribe was founded on a community urban type model for recovery and wellness. Explain what that means and how does Iron Tribe differ from other recovery programs?
Yeah, Iron, just back to our name, Iron represents being incarcerated or suffering struggle. Tribe, the root meaning of tribe is family. And we added the word network because we're a network of people in recovery. And recovery is a broad word. So Iron Tribe Network, we just wanted to be true to our name and to the things that we do and kind of what our makeup is.
But what is unique about Iron Tribe?
Well, when it comes to housing, we're the only ones that serve the whole family. So that's men, women, and children all in the same house. Again, there's no one else doing that. We've been doing that since 2010. And like I said, we're still the only ones. You could have a single person or a single parent, couple parents and a kid, all in the same, under the same roof. And that's probably the most unique thing, about us. Like I said, that differs from other organizations. Additionally, beyond that, we, have figured out how to meld peer support and, clean and sober housing, making supported housing and a curriculum that helps moms and dads while they're trying to get their children back from the child welfare system. And we've created a program that lasts for 6 to 9 months, up to 1 year. And that is now expanded to 3 counties. And then we have our self-pay in 3 other counties. So we're actually in 6 counties in Oregon.
Sean, I know you do in-reach in the prisons, but with COVID, the prisons are shut down right now. So what types of community services or activities is Iron Tribe involved with currently?
We still have our community meeting that happens on Friday nights. Right now it is happening on Zoom and has been throughout the summer in person, at Mount Scott Park. We are awaiting the information about our in-person location. We're actively working on that. The community center isn't open to outside rentals right now, and we're waiting to find out when that happens so that we would be indoors there. Again, it'll continue to be on Zoom. You're right. I'm unable to go into the prison until 2 weeks ago. I made my first visit back to the treatment center inside CRCI. It is not open yet fully for volunteers, but it was a isolated visit that was allowed. And that's definitely where I like to go. Being carded at three prisons as a volunteer pre-COVID, yeah, I would spend a lot of time there because I'm trying to change the culture of people getting out. I'll never pretend what it's like to do more than 3 years, you know, at one time. But what I do know is what it's like to get out and try to find a bus pass and try to get my food stamps or check in with my PO or find a meeting, you know, just connect with people. And that's the platform that we have, you know. Oftentimes too, when people say, well, I don't really like AA or NA, maybe they had a bad experience there, you know, and so I encourage them to come to our meeting, because what you'll find at our meeting is people from all the other support groups. We get to be a support group for the support groups. So there'll be people there from, you know, 12-step, faith-based, Wellbriety, all different types of recovery come to our meeting. And so that it gets to be in addition to whatever recovery program, you know, that they choose.
So Sean, talk a little bit more about the Friday night community meetings. You said they're being held via Zoom, also at Mount Scott Park. What happens at those meetings?
Well, it's like a weekly check-in. You know, there's a lot of folks there that, you know, maybe they, like I said, they have their own recovery program that they work. Maybe through Narcotics Anonymous or their church or something. But then they come there as well. And it's also a place to learn about other recovery events, whether there's a speaker meeting happening or a fundraiser, a bingo. Again, it's something that happens. It's almost like magic. You know, people will come there and maybe they'll see someone that they have a thread of a relationship with. And that could be that they used to do drugs together, they did crime together, they did time together, you know, and they don't necessarily always like one another, but they come there and there's a thread of a relationship. And then a new one starts because people are acting different, people are talking different. And then it allows a new foundation without a lot said, because someone could come there and just be accepted because they don't have to talk about, well, how much time did you do? What was your drug of choice? What was your crime? Any of that. Like, they could just come there and a lot of time they say, well, I just got out. And people will say, well, welcome home. And here's my phone number. And we hope to see you back here next Friday. You know, and where are you living? What are you doing? And so all of that kind of stuff comes out. And like I said, it's like magic. And who doesn't like magic?
And do you still use the talking stick?
Yes, we do.
And we should make it clear that Iron Tribe Network is not a Native American organization.
That's correct. We are a peer-ran organization of mostly formerly incarcerated people, but it's also not a qualifier. You don't have to have been incarcerated to be amongst ITN. And again, I say Iron Tribe Network, iron is because we've suffered struggle, and the root meaning of tribe is family, and we're a network of people in recovery.
And you also hold sweat lodge ceremonies?
That is occurring. We have a location out off the Clackamas River in Barton that hosts a monthly sweat lodge. Those lodges are guided, and that medicine is shared with people that are respected in that community to host those lodges. And those are on the third weekend of the month. We have third Saturday of the month is the women's lodge. Third Sunday is the men's lodge. And they're open learning lodges. And that means that anyone can come, whether their level of knowledge or participation could be their first time, could be something they know nothing about. You know, sweat lodge is a place for you to go and give up those things that no longer serve you, you know, and pray to your higher power. And so, the people that run those lodges, you know, are qualified to do that and welcome anyone to attend. If they want to know any more information about that, certainly call me at my office, 503-344-6710, and I could give them more information.
And of course, the website is irontribenetwork.org.
Yes, and there's a calendar on that website of just our weekly meeting, the Sweat Lodge, or just other events that we may be hosting or participating in. Right now, it's getting to be winter, so there's not a lot going on, but we do have an annual Easter event that happens the day before Easter. We rent out Mount Scott Park, two picnic areas, and we have Easter. We had 2,600 eggs this last year. And even with COVID, we had to put on some precautions, but we were able to have the event in 2021. We skipped it in 2020, but then we have an annual camp out that happens in Tillamook down at Barview Jetty. And those things are going to be listed on the website as the calendar dates are locked in. Right now, there are tentative dates. We just want to make sure that we can get our permit for the park and get our campsites, and then we'll post those dates.
So what happens after the prison doors open back up after COVID, or when it becomes safe to do so? Will you be going back into the prisons?
Absolutely. Like I said, I'm a carded volunteer at three prisons, and I spend a lot of time at CRCI and OSP and Santa Yam, and I plan to return back to those prisons and be part of the clubs that welcome me and invite me in. Just in there sharing resources. There's guys that are getting out and they want to know who to call and where to go, or, what does it look like out here? Or maybe they need some support in a letter, or even attend their parole board hearing. And there's lots of little things that I get to do, and the relational part that I get from going inside and meeting somebody. Again, I play a good middleman, and so I get to connect some dots, and I look forward to being able to get back into the institutions.
So let's talk about Iron Tribe housing. How do people apply? What is the process? How are they accepted? Where are the homes located?
With the self-pay homes, there is four counties.
Now, what is self-pay?
Yes, self-pay is where, they pay rent, and essentially they're a roommate. One good thing about us as well, and it's kind of unique, is that we call it single family occupancy. So if there's one person, then that's the family. You don't share a room. You do have shared kitchen, bathroom, and living room, the common areas, but your room is your room. And rent basis is, most average rent would be $575. That's single room occupancy, and that's your utilities included. We do have some that are a little less and some that are a little bit more, but that's the most common. We have seven houses in Multnomah County and just about to have 11 in Clackamas County. We have one in Washington County and one in Polk County. It's West Salem.
And Sean, what are some of the guidelines for people who do live in those homes?
To actively be working a program of their choosing. We have found that folks that want to kind of do it their way and not really have a program and say, I'm good, I just need to work and stay clean. There are some people that do it for a period of time, but in my 13 and a half years clean, I really only met one. I used to say three, but the other two eventually fell off and returned to their use. So that's the first thing, to be in our housing. Just pick a recovery program of your choosing, and work that program. It'll help you not commit crime. It'll help you not use drugs and alcohol. And it'll help you to not go back to prison by having a program.
And what type of support is there? Is there a house manager? Are there peer support specialists in these homes?
Yeah, so there is a house lead. It's a person that generally has a year or more clean, has lived in our housing, and gets promoted to being that lead person. They're kind of, doesn't always necessarily mean seniority, but, they've been there and they've established their recovery program and the house. There is also peer support that is, offered through our office. If someone, freshly releasing or freshly rejoining the community, wherever they come from, maybe they're not even from this community, they moved here. We have that happens often as well. and trying to get a fresh start. And so, yes, we have a peer support specialist. Right now we have one for the male peer support. Female peer support is not as often asked for. And our recent female peer support had to find another employment just because there wasn't enough workload, you know, for her. But absolutely, we could get them connected to peer support as well, even through a couple other community partners, whether it be, you know, A&D or whether it be mental health peer support. We work well with a couple good community partnering organizations.
And you mentioned another type of housing. What was that?
The other houses are called our program housing. What that is that we have a contract in three counties with ODHS. And so the moms or dads have to have an open DHS case in those counties to access that program. So that's Marion County, Washington County, and Columbia County. If they have a open DHS case in there, then what happens is that DHS will look at what our program is and does, and then what the family need is. And if those two match up, then a referral is created. Then the next step is about space, if there's an open room for them. The expectancy of those programs or requirement is to have 30 days to return to parent so that they get temporary reunification with their parent or their child, all while living there for that 6 to 9 months, so that they could finish up whatever it is they need to get back onto their feet. Our whole goal in those, you know, ODHS program is back to self-sustainability. So it's pretty vague, but overarching, that is what is the outcome for every family. Also, you know, being 6 to 9 months isn't a lot of time. You know, you kind of got to hit the ground running, you know, and get going in there. But that has a full-time house manager and a full-time, what we call reunification specialist. In that program, that's the word for mentor. So they can look at what is stipulations and requirements from DHS, from parole and probation, their treatment, parenting. What do they need to complete? You know, they get them into those programs that are required, you know, help them with their resume, get them employment. Again, the whole goal is to be out of state services, other than maybe being on food stamps because they qualify, you know, their income level qualifies for that. We want them to have everything else done. They save up some money while they're there. That is to put towards maybe their license or buying a car or paying off old apartment debt, you know, so that they can, again, get back into being a participating parent and out-of-state services.
And when you're talking about reunification, you're talking about kids in foster care, correct?
Correct. And they don't have to always be in foster care, just out of the parent's care.
Right.
So sometimes ODHS will come in and find a safety concern. I don't want to say sometimes, all the time. That's why they're involved in their life. They've identified a safety concern. And so they want the children to be removed, either maybe staying with family or a friend or foster care. And then our program is to help mitigate what that safety concern was, all while being in supported, safe and supported housing.
And Sean, how successful is Iron Tribe's reunification program?
Well, last year, Columbia County said that we have lowered their foster care rate by 25%. So that's pretty amazing. We also had 67% where ODHS never talked to them again. They just went on and continued on the path of their recovery. And in that 33% that was left over from that, there's 17% of them, DHS talked to them again, but never reopened the case. Wow. So that really is part of the, I mean, that's a success rate that goes with the 67, in my opinion, because it means that they're participating parents, the children did not return into care, and they remained with the parent.
That's remarkable. So for people inside who are soon to be released, don't have a place yet, don't know where they're going to be living, how do they get in touch with you? How do they apply for housing with Iron Tribe?
Yeah, they can certainly give me a call, or they can send me an email or a letter. I am better with phone and email than I am with paper letters at this point. So our office number is 503 844-674-6710. My email is shawnb@irontribenetwork.org. And I also have money on my phone so that anyone can call. My cell phone is 503-431-9182. And I can answer any questions, talk about what they have when they're going, you know, getting out. The requirement, though, would be to come to the table with something. We like to be equally invested. We don't have subsidy for TransLeave or, you know, those kinds of things. The resources are pretty limited in that. If they have that availability through the Department of Corrections to use a TransLeave through one of the other community partners, I encourage that. That way you could have your 30 to 90 days, get settled, acclimated, get employment, and transition over to us. That is the best recipe for some success. There are others that say, hey, I've been saving my money, or I have family support and they want a room right now. Then they would call and talk to our housing director. That is Melly. Yeah, they just call us and then we'll see where we're at. It's very difficult to say that we would have a room in December at such and such address. We really don't know right now. I do have a good working relationship with Clackamas County and Multnomah County, where I could call them and say, hey, we're working with this guy. He's going to be getting out. And I mean, not just the guy, excuse me. We're working with this person. I say that because I work with the men, right? So it just kind of comes out, you know, naturally. But we serve both men and women, and you don't have to be a whole family with significant other and children. You are your family if you're just one person.
And are you looking for houses or land to add to your inventory?
Absolutely. We're in the middle of opening another one in Clackamas County right now. We are exploring some options over in the northeast side of Portland, because we don't really have any housing in northeast, and there is a big gap in the availability over there in clean and sober housing. And right now we're actively searching in Marion County. That one has seemed to be a little bit more difficult for us just because we're not as familiar with the landscape and the layout. We've been down there shaking trees and bushes, you know, looking for a property, because we know that it's needed down there. In fact, there was a couple Oxford houses that closed, a couple Bridges to Change houses that are looking to close. And we're working with them to see if we could just take over the house, because no one wants to create any more, houseless folks. We want people to remain in the recovery and continue to get better and, you know, and reinvent themselves. And this is the type of platform that seems to be working.
And we should mention also, Sean, that your headquarters or your offices are in Gladstone, Oregon.
Yes, our headquarters is located in Gladstone. That's the 17763 Southeast 82nd Drive, Suite A, Gladstone, Oregon, 97027. That is where letters can be sent. And when they get into housing or if they're going to meet with the peer support, this is our office.
And are there any other services or programs at that location?
We have a volunteer donation closet. And so when people are releasing, or they don't have to be releasing, they could be in our housing and they could drop by and they could say, could I look through your closet? You know, I'm in need of some more pants or some shirts or something, and a coat. And again, it's a volunteer donation closet. So anybody ever wants to volunteer, they come and fold some clothes and put some tape labels on the clothes. It makes it very simple to be able to go shopping for them, you know, when people either stop by or when the prison calls. CRCI calls a lot for individuals getting out, and I do dress outs, you know, for those guys. The only expectation is that later down the road, when you're doing better and you want to donate some stuff, please come back and donate it here. Other than that, there's no strings attached.
And also, I understand that mentors can help with people coming out of prison, help them get their ID, social security cards, health insurance.
Absolutely. They'll be able to pick them up. And you know, you don't even have to be going to our housing or to one of our programs, really. And I'll keep reverting back to CRCI just because it's our closest institution. Some guys will be getting out and need a ride down to the Mead building, you know, and to go check in with their PO, or Maybe they're going to another county. It happens pretty frequently that, you know, guys are getting out and going to Medford or Grants Pass or something. Our mentor will pick them up, you know, maybe get them a egg McMuffin, a cup of coffee or something, and just kind of hang out with them until, you know, until their bus is leaving, so that that way they don't have to try to get on TriMet, carry their big bag of stuff from the prison, wearing a gray jumpsuit, get downtown Portland and walk through some of the things that could be very challenging to get over to where the bus stop is. So you have a lot of obstacles to make it to your bus. And so we'd like to make sure that people get from point A to point B. And again, if you email or you request something, sometimes there's some other institutions that we would know about some resources. But I say primarily it's the RCI just because it's right here in Portland next to us. You know, the transition counselor just emails, says this guy needs this size of clothing and needs a ride. And, you know, do we have anybody available to pick him up? And I don't think I've ever turned down any of those requests.
So, Sean, give that information about the Friday night meetings one more time, because as you said, this is where it's all happening. This is where all those connections are being made.
Yeah, our meeting and our community of belonging is at the very core of why we exist. And so that we can come together. The tagline that I say a lot is, if you ever had a challenge, I use the word challenge versus problem. I like that word better because I can overcome challenges. And I'll tell you, most of the time, I cannot overcome them by myself. And that's where I need meetings. And that's where I need a support group, you know, of people that I can be understood by. And so, again, our meeting is for people in recovery. Recovery is a broad word. It's not always alcohol and drugs and crime, right? It's mental health. It's financial. It's there's a lot of pressures and barriers. That's what we call it. You know, and so if you've ever had any pressures and barriers and want some support around them, then I encourage you to come to the Iron Tribe Network Friday night meeting, currently being held on Zoom, and believe that it'll be back at the Mount Scott Community Center. But the website will be able to tell you that, or by calling us, you know, at 503-344-6710. And, you know, if you're, you know, one of the people incarcerated, you know, send your people. You know, tell them to come down and check it out. You know, that's the best place to learn about resources of our housing or just other community events that are happening. We recently just partnered with a fundraiser of another organization. They had bingo and a speaker meeting and a raffle, and that was their toy fundraiser. And they take care of all the kids that live in Iron Tribe Network housing at Christmas time. And so when you come to our meeting, you're going to learn about these other things that are happening in the community. Again, it's 6:30 till 7:30 on Friday nights at Mount Scott Park or on Zoom.
And the contact information?
Our phone number is 503-344-6710 for our office. Or my cell phone is 503-431-9182. Our physical address is 17763 Southeast 82nd Drive, Suite A, Gladstone, Oregon, 97027. You know, we're only as great as the people that are amongst us. So we encourage you to come to our meeting, encourage you to bring a friend or give us a call.
Sean, thank you so much for being on Prison Pipeline and sharing all this wonderful information about Iron Tribe Network. You're doing a remarkable job. All the best to you and all the folks at Iron Tribe.
Thank you very much for having me. And I'm just very blessed to walk this walk that I do. Thank you.